Chapter 16. I spoke for him, as his interpreter, to my comrades, and in their names thanked him. But, speaking to them in Portuguese, I desired them to defer the acceptance of his kindness to the next morning, and so I did, telling him we would further talk of this part in the morning, so we parted for that time. When he was gone, I found they were all wonderfully affected with his discourse, and with the generosity of his temper, as well as the magnificence of his present, which in another place had been extraordinary. Upon the whole, not to detain you with circumstances, we agreed that, seeing he was now one of our number, and that as we were a relief to him in carrying him out of the dismal condition he was in, so he was equally a relief to us, in being our guide through the rest of the country, our interpreter with the natives, and our director how to manage with the savages, and how to enrich ourselves with the wealth of the country. That, therefore, we would put his gold among our common stock, and every one should give him as much as would make his up just as much as any single share of our own, and for the future we would take our lot together, taking his solemn engagement to us, as we had before one to another, that we would not conceal the least grain of gold we found one from another. In the next conference we acquainted him with the adventures of the Golden River, and how we had shared what we got there, so that every man had a larger stock than he for his share. That, therefore, instead of taking any from him, we had resolved every one to add a little to him. He appeared very glad that we had met with such good success, but would not take a grain from us, till at last, pressing him very hard, he told us that then he would take it thus, that, when we came to get any more, he would have so much out of the first as should make him even, and then we would go on as equal adventurers, and thus we agreed. He then told us he thought it would not be an unprofitable adventure if, before we set forward, and after we had got a stock of provisions, we should make a journey north to the edge of the desert he had told us of, from whence our negroes might bring every one a large elephant's tooth, and that he would get some more to assist, and that, after a certain length of carriage, they might be conveyed by canoes to the coast, where they would yield a very great profit. I objected against this on account of our other design we had of getting gold dust, and that our negroes, who we knew, would be faithful to us, would get much more, by searching the rivers for gold for us than, by lugging a great tooth of 150 pounds weight 100 miles or more, which would be an insufferable labor to them after so hard a journey, and would certainly kill them. He acquiesced in the justice of this answer, but fain would have had us gone to see the woody part of the hill, and the edge of the desert, that we might see how the elephant's teeth lay scattered up and down there. But when we told him the story, of what we had seen before, as is said above, he said no more. We stayed here 12 days, during which time the natives were very obliging to us, and brought us fruits, pompions, and a root like carrots, though of quite another taste, but not unpleasant neither, and some guinea fowls, whose names we did not know. In short, they brought us plenty of what they had, and we lived very well, and we gave them all such little things as our cutler had made, for he had now a whole bag full of them. On the 13th day we set forward, taking our new gentleman with us. At parting, the Negro King sent 2 savages with a present to him of some dried flesh, but I do not remember what it was, and he gave him again 3 silver birds which our cutler helped him to, which I assure you was a present for a king. We traveled now south, a little west, and here we found the first river for above 2,000 miles march, whose waters run south, all the rest running north or west. We followed this river, which was no bigger than a good large brook in England, till it began to increase its water. Every now and then we found our Englishmen went down as it were privately to the water, which was to try the land. At length, after a day's march upon this river, he came running up to us with his hands full of sand, and saying, "Look here." Upon looking we found that a good deal of gold lay spangled among the sand of the river. "Now," says he, "I think we may begin to work. So he divided our Negroes in two couples, and set them to work, to search and wash the sand, and ooze in the bottom of the water, where it was not deep. In the first day and a quarter our men all together had gathered a pound, and 2 ounces of gold or thereabouts, and as we found the quantity increased the farther we went, we followed it about 3 days, till another small rivulet joined the first, and then searching up the stream, we found gold there too. So we pitched our camp in the angle where the rivers joined, and we diverted ourselves, as I may call it, in washing the gold out of the sand of the river, and in getting provisions. Here we stayed 13 days more, in which time we had many pleasant adventures with the savages, too long to mention here, and some of them too homely to tell of, for some of our men had made something free with their women, which, had not our new guide made peace for us with one of their men at the price of 7 fine bits of silver, which our artificer had cut out into the shapes of lions, and fishes, and birds, and had punched holes, to hang them up by an inestimable treasure, we must have gone to war with them, and all their people. All the while we were busy washing gold dust out of the rivers, and our Negroes the like, our ingenious cutler was hammering and cutting, and he was grown, so dexterous by use, that he formed all manner of images. He cut out elephants, tigers, civet cats, ostriches, eagles, cranes, fowls, fishes, and indeed whatever he pleased, in thin plates of hammered gold, for his silver and iron were almost all gone. At one of the towns of these savage nations we were very friendly received by their king, and as he was very much taken with our workmen's toys, he sold him an elephant cut out of a gold plate as thin as a sixpence at an extravagant rate. He was so much taken with it, that he would not be quiet till he had given him almost a handful of gold dust, as they call it. I suppose it might weigh 3/4 of a pound. The piece of gold that the elephant was made of might be about the weight of a pistol, rather less than more. Our artist was so honest, though the labor and art were all his own, that he brought all the gold and put it into our common stock. But we had, indeed, no manner of reason in the least to be covetous, for, as our new guide told us, we that were strong enough to defend ourselves, and had time enough to stay, for we were none of us in haste, might in time get together what quantity of gold we pleased, even to 100 pounds weight each man, if we thought fit. And therefore he told us, though he had as much reason to be sick of the country as any of us, yet if we thought to turn our march a little to the southeast, and pitch upon a place proper for our headquarters, we might find provisions plenty enough, and extend ourselves over the country among the rivers for 2 or 3 years to the right and left, and we should soon find the advantage of it. The proposal, however good as to the profitable part of it, suited none of us, for we were all more desirous to get home than to be rich, being tired of the excessive fatigue of above a year's continual wandering among deserts and wild beasts. However, the tongue of our new acquaintance had a kind of charm in it, and used such arguments, and had so much the power of persuasion, that there was no resisting him. He told us it was preposterous not to take the fruit of all our labors now we were come to the harvest, that we might see the hazard the Europeans run with ships and men, and at great expense, to fetch a little gold, and that we, that were in the center of it, to go away empty-handed was unaccountable, that we were strong enough to fight our way through whole nations, and might make our journey afterward to what part of the coast we pleased, and we should never forgive ourselves when we came to our own country to see we had 500 pistoles in gold, and might as easily have had 5,000 or 10,000, or what we pleased, that he was no more covetous than we, but seeing it was in all our powers to retrieve our misfortunes at once, and to make ourselves easy for all our lives, he could not be faithful to us, or grateful for the good we had done him, if he did not let us see the advantage we had in our hands. and he assured us he would make it clear to our own understanding that we might in 2 years' time, by good management, and by the help of our negroes, gather every man 100 pounds weight of gold, and get together perhaps 200 ton of teeth. Whereas, if once we pushed on to the coast and separated, we should never be able to see that place again with our eyes, or do any more than sinners did with heaven, wish themselves there, but know they can never come at it. Our surgeon was the first man that yielded to his reasoning, and after him the gunner, and they too, indeed, had a great influence over us, but none of the rest had any mind to stay, nor I neither, I must confess, for I had no notion of a great deal of money, or what to do with myself, or what to do with it, if I had it. I thought I had enough already, and all the thoughts I had about disposing of it, if I came to Europe, was only how to spend it as fast as I could, buy me some clothes, and go to sea again, to be a drudge for more. However, he prevailed with us by his good words at last to stay, but for 6 months in the country, and then, if we did resolve to go, he would submit. So at length we yielded to that, and he carried us about 50 English miles southeast, where we found several rivulets of water, which seemed to come all from a great ridge of mountains, which lay to the northeast, and which, by our calculation, must be the beginning, that way of the great waste, which we had been forced northward to avoid. Here we found the country barren enough, but yet we had by his direction plenty of food. For the savages round us, upon giving them some of our toys, as I have so often mentioned, brought us in whatever they had. And here we found some maize, or Indian wheat, which the negro women planted, as we sow seeds in a garden, and immediately our new provider ordered some of our negroes to plant it, and it grew up presently, and by watering it often, we had a crop in less than 3 months' growth. As soon as we were settled, and our camp fixed, we fell to the old trade of fishing for gold in the rivers mentioned above, and our English gentlemen so well knew how to direct our search, that we scarce ever lost our labor. One time, having set us to work, he asked if we would give him leave, with 4 or 5 negroes, to go out for 6 or 7 days to seek his fortune, and see what he could discover in the country, assuring us whatever he got should be for the public stock. We all gave him our consent, and lent him a gun, and 2 of our men desiring to go with him, they took then 6 negroes with them, and 2 of our buffaloes, that came with us the whole journey. They took about 8 days' provision of bread with them, but no flesh, except about as much dried flesh as would serve them 2 days. They traveled up to the top of the mountains I mentioned just now, where they saw, as our men afterwards vouched it to be, the same desert which we were so justly terrified at when we were on the farther side, and which, by our calculation, could not be less than 300 miles broad, and above 600 miles in length, without knowing where it ended. The journal of their travels is too long to enter upon here. They stayed out 2 and 50 days, when they brought us 17 pounds, and something more, for we had no exact weight, of gold dust, some of it in much larger pieces than any we had found before, besides about 15 ton of elephant's teeth, which he had, partly by good usage and partly by bad, obliged the savages of the country to fetch, and bring down to him from the mountains, and which he made others bring with him quite down to our camp. Indeed, we wondered what was coming to us, when we saw him attended with above 200 negroes, but he soon undeceived us, when he made them all throw down their burdens on a heap at the entrance of our camp. Besides this, they brought 2 lion skins, and 5 leopard skins, very large and very fine. He asked our pardon for his long stay, and that he had made no greater a booty, but told us he had 1 excursion more to make, which he hoped should turn to a better account. So, having rested himself, and rewarded the savages that brought the teeth for him with some bits of silver and iron cut out diamond fashion, and with 2 shaped like little dogs, he sent them away mightily pleased. The second journey he went, some more of our men desired to go with him, and they made a troop of 10 white men and 10 savages, and the 2 buffaloes, to carry their provisions and ammunition. They took the same course, only not exactly the same track, and they stayed 32 days only, in which time they killed no less than 15 leopards, 3 lions, and several other creatures, and brought us home 4 and 20 pounds some ounces of gold dust, and only 6 elephant's teeth, but they were very great ones. Our friend the Englishman showed us that now our time was well bestowed, for in 5 months which we had stayed here, we had gathered so much gold dust that, when we came to share it, we had 5 pound and a quarter to a man, besides what we had before, and besides 6 or 7 pound weight which we had at several times given our artificer to make baubles with. And now we talked of going forward to the coast, to put an end to our journey, but our guide laughed at us then. "Nay, you can't go now," says he, "for the rainy season begins next month, and there will be no stirring then." This we found, indeed, reasonable, so we resolved to furnish ourselves with provisions, that we might not be obliged to go abroad too much in the rain, and we spread ourselves some one way and some another, as far as we cared to venture, to get provisions. And our negroes killed us some deer, which we cured as well as we could in the sun, for we had now no salt. By this time the rainy months were set in, and we could scarce, for above 2 months, look out of our huts. But that was not all, for the rivers were so swelled with the land floods, that we scarce knew the little brooks and rivulets from the great navigable rivers. This had been a very good opportunity to have conveyed by water, upon rafts, our elephant's teeth, of which we had a very great pile, for, as we always gave the savages some reward for their labor, the very women would bring us teeth upon every opportunity, and sometimes a great tooth carried between 2, so that our quantity was increased to about 2 and 20 ton of teeth. As soon as the weather proved fair again, he told us he would not press us to any further stay, since we did not care whether we got any more gold or no, that we were indeed the first men he ever met with in his life, that said they had gold enough, and of whom it might be truly said, that, when it lay under our feet, we would not stoop to take it up. But, since he had made us a promise, he would not break it, nor press us to make any further stay. Only he thought he ought to tell us that now was the time, after the land flood, when the greatest quantity of gold was found, and that, if we stayed but 1 month, we should see thousands of savages spread themselves over the whole country, to wash the gold out of the sand, for the European ships which would come on the coast, that they do it then, because the rage of the floods always works down a great deal of gold out of the hills. And, if we took the advantage to be there before them, we did not know what extraordinary things we might find. This was so forcible, and so well argued, that it appeared in all our faces we were prevailed upon. So we told him we would all stay. For though it was true we were all eager to be gone, yet the evident prospect of so much advantage could not well be resisted. That he was greatly mistaken, when he suggested, that we did not desire to increase our store of gold, and in that we were resolved to make the utmost use of the advantage that was in our hands, and would stay as long as any gold was to be had, if it was another year. He could hardly express the joy he was in on this occasion, and the fair weather coming on, we began, just as he directed, to search about the rivers for more gold. At first we had but little encouragement, and began to be doubtful, but it was very plain that the reason was, the water was not fully fallen, or the rivers reduced to their usual channel, but in a few days we were fully requited, and found much more gold than at first, and in bigger lumps, and one of our men washed out of the sand a piece of gold as big as a small nut, which weighed, by our estimation, for we had no small weights, almost an ounce and a half. This success made us extremely diligent, and in little more than a month we had altogether gotten near 60 pound weight of gold. But after this, As he told us, we found abundance of the savages, men, women, and children, hunting every river and brook, and even the dry land of the hills for gold, so that we could do nothing like then, compared to what we had done before. But our artificer found a way to make other people find us in gold without our own labor. For, when these people began to appear, he had a considerable quantity of his toys, birds, beasts, and sea such as before, ready for them. And the English gentleman being the interpreter, he brought the savages to admire them. So our cutler had trade enough, and, to be sure, sold his goods at a monstrous rate. For he would get an ounce of gold, sometimes two, for a bit of silver, perhaps of the value of a groat. Nay, if it were iron, and if it was of gold, they would not give the more for it. And it was incredible, almost to think what a quantity of gold he got that way. In a word, to bring this happy journey to a conclusion, we increased our stock of gold here, in 3 months' stay more, to such a degree that, bringing it all to a common stock, in order to share it, we divided almost 4 pound weight again to every man. And then we set forward for the gold. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.